Thank you. Joining us as usual is Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay and University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Our special guest is former state treasurer and current candidate for treasurer, Frank Caprio. Welcome, Frank.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You declined to run for a second term as treasurer in order to make an unsuccessful run for governor. Since your defeat, you've been presumably very gainfully employed as managing director at Chatham Capital, a finance firm with offices in Providence, Atlanta, and Dallas. Frank, the most obvious question, why give up a lucrative career in finance to go back to a job that you've already done and that presumably pays less?
Well, first of all, thank you for the very kind words about what I'm doing currently with my career. Public service is something that I thoroughly enjoy, and I look at what's going on in the state right now, and I'd like to apply my talents back to the office of state treasurer. I know what an important office that office is, an office that oversees, you know, billions of dollars in investments and billions of dollars of spending on a yearly basis is one where you need very talented and focused people, and I'm ready to bring my talents back to that office.
You've been a backer of State General Treasurer Gina Raimondo. If she were running for re-election rather than contemplating a bid for governor, would you be in this race?
Well, as I said, I'm going to take on all comers for the treasurer's race. We'll see when we get closer to the filing deadline next year who's running. But you say some kind things about Treasurer Raimondo. I think she's done a very good job as treasurer. You know, it's a difficult office. But, you know, every time calls for certain focus and certain types of talents in the office. And I think the office has been well served during her tenure. But I think hopefully if the people of Rhode Island see fit to send me back to the office, we'll be able to provide superior performance and customer service in that office.
You've been relatively conservative in a lot of your political opinions, and we really need a two-party system here in Rhode Island. Would you consider running as a Republican?
Right now I'm unaffiliated, and I'm keeping my options open on that front, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
You know, you had a long career at the State House in the legislature before you became general treasurer. We just passed the big budget and had our 2013 sessions finally over. What did you think? What do you make of the session, the highs and lows?
You know, this year, on the positive side, you know, there was a holding the line on taxes and fees, I think, was a net positive for the people of the state. I was critical of the Studio 38 process. I'm glad they put in some money to study what the downside would be if they decided not to take taxpayer money to pay off the bondholders going forward. And I'd also like to see maybe some movement to call all the interested parties of the Studio 38 issue around the table, meaning the bondholders, the insurers, and obviously the state. And maybe we could come to some resolution that would save the state tens of millions of dollars, if not more, and have the other people agree that it's the right resolution.
What do you think about the lawsuit? You're a lawyer.
Yeah, well, the lawsuit against the advisors to the
EDC. That's correct.
I think there's a lot of merit to that lawsuit, and I speak with a little bit of knowledge of bringing a similar lawsuit. When I was in office, there were some reports and audits that came out of the landfill in Johnston showing a lot of waste and other actions, spending that wasn't looked at favorably. And a lot of people, you know, sat around and shook their head and say, oh, here we have another typical Rhode Island problem. What can we do about it? It seems like nothing. And again, it wasn't my job to weigh in necessarily, although I was very interested of what was being said. And with my experience in the legal world and business world, I floated the idea of why don't we bring an action against the board of directors of the landfill, not necessarily to take money out of their personal pockets, but they, most boards like that, carry directors and officers liability insurance to protect against situations where there may be misdeeds. And we got the ball rolling. The administration at the time decided to go forward with it also, brought in a law firm that had a national reputation of bringing those types of actions. And something that I had rarely seen in my legal experience was without even filing a complaint or taking one deposition, the law firm issued one letter making a request for the policy limit, and lo and behold, the insurer wrote a check for $5 million, the policy limit of the directors and officers' liability. So having seen that, I think there's a lot of merit to the Studio 38 because of the amount of meat on the bone there of what we've already seen.
But you don't believe the state should renege on this debt, do you?
Well, you say the renege on the debt. The state, if you read the bond offering, in three bold print sections of the bond offering, it says, this is not a state obligation. Three times, not once, not twice, three times. We see this week a letter that was written by the EDC director at the time that the bonds were issued, telling state legislators in writing, the state taxpayer will never have to pay a dime if this goes bad.
So you agree that we've talked about the fact that we put the $2.5 million in the budget, and then we go from there and still try to negotiate to get some sort of a settlement where we're not on the hook for the whole thing.
Yeah, well nobody's actually said we should sit down with everybody to resolve this. I think I've heard, Professor, you've mentioned that in print and maybe in interviews, which I think I'm agreeing with wholeheartedly. The money that the legislature appropriated to study the issue, I think, will be important, because you're going to, I think, see from that study that the bond impact or the borrowing cost impact may not be a tremendously large number, and it's going to be very difficult for someone to predict anyway. You're going to see interest rates go up and down because of market forces, more so than what maybe would affect the change because of a Studio 38 issue here in Rhode Island.
Can I just ask you one more question about State Treasurer Raimondo? She's widely acclaimed for offering the overhaul of the state pension system, but most recently has been criticized for excessive fees related to hedge funds. Where would you stand on that? Would you have done the same thing? Would you have a different solution or strategy?
Yeah, well, first of all, the changes to the state pension system, or the hybrid plan, was something that was a cornerstone of my gubernatorial campaign.
Correct.
And, had been looked at then. When the new administration came in, there was a $400 million budget hole, and one of the places to save that amount of money would be, let's revamp the pension system. And we had, the framework of a proposal that had already been out there and studied by my team, and many of my advisors and assistants in the office were still available because they were in the office and they helped shepherd it through with the leadership of the treasurer. As far as the asset allocation of the pension fund and whether you should allocate more or less resources to hedge funds, each treasurer is going to come into office with their own initiatives and focus. When I entered into office, my focus was, let's get away from the high-cost money managers, the third parties that make investment decisions for the state and get paid a fee for it, and let's use more of what's called index funds, which charge minimal fees, and you're guaranteed to get the market return. If the market goes up 20%, you don't have to worry about your manager keeping up with the market. What we've seen now with over $1 billion allocated to hedge fund managers over the last 3 years or so is that hedge funds by nature are not trying to keep up with the market. Some of them are trying to dampen volatility. Some of them are trying to, by their own admission, protect against downside, not necessarily keep up with upside. So do you think the
criticism is fair? The criticism against her that she's really leaned too excessively on hedge funds and fees?
Well, all criticism is fair. The numbers in a treasurer's office speak for themselves. And I think in the next couple of weeks, there'll be a pension board meeting where they'll disclose the returns for the last 12 months because the fiscal year just ended. And they'll also disclose the fees that were paid. And the fees, I think, become an important number when you contrast that to what's happened in the past when it comes to fees. So I don't know what those numbers are going to be exactly, but I think that will be something worth focusing on when they do come out.
We've been talking this morning to Frank Caprio, former treasurer for the state of Rhode Island, and now a candidate for that job. Frank, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Flo. I enjoyed it.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.